And once you get over it, look at the treasures that you get. I'm sitting here looking at having my own business, being a motivational speaker, pouring into other single moms, being the My Black is Beautiful ambassador, you know, and talking to these little girls around the country and saying, you can be whatever you want to be. And I can only tell them that because I'm doing it.
That was Ebony Combs. This is Kenneth Alan Morris, and you are listening to the Dumb Teacher Podcast. Enjoy. Here we are. Welcome. I am really excited to have Ebony on the show. Connected up with her on Facebook, I believe. She is absolutely, first of all, she's just stunningly beautiful, and you can check her out at iamebony.com. She's a My Black is Beautiful ambassador for Procter & Gamble. She has her own coaching that she does. She's awesome, and I hope you enjoy this episode. We get into why she does what she does and what she's working on now and what she sees in the future with herself and her business. So enjoy. And if you do like this episode, please like, share, comment, review, all that good stuff. And here's the interview with Ebony Combs. Well, thanks for coming on the show with me. I did some, you know, I kind of have an idea of what you do, but I want you to kind of put it in your own words and tell us about yourself and how you got to where you are now.
Okay. Well, my story is very simple. It's all part of a divine plan. I can't sit here and tell you that it's anything other than that. But my journey began, honestly, when I found out that I was pregnant with my daughter, September of 2006. I had her at the age of 25 on May 21st, 2007. I did that with my parents present, my sister, and an aunt. Her father was not there. He later came to the hospital, but honestly, our relationship was pretty much over and broken at that point. So I became a single mom. I was devastated because I came from a two-parent home. My parents are happily married, have been for almost 40 years. And so the picture that I had of my dreams, my adult life, was having my husband, having my child or children, and the great career. You know, everything you write down as a little girl, that whole white picket fence story.
Right.
And, you know, that did not happen for me. It, you know, got off course with getting pregnant out of wedlock. It got off course with having my child's father not be present for me or her, and just kind of checking out and having to do that on my own. So I embraced that journey after going into a deep, dark depression. I, you know, got into the point where I knew I needed something different. At that point, when I was pregnant and after I had her and was back in grad school, it was my second year. So I'm caring for this child, I'm working full-time, going to school full-time. I discovered that there weren't any resources to help single moms who wanted to keep their child, who didn't necessarily need the resources as far as clothing and food, because I had a great village in my parents. I needed someone to tell me that I wasn't alone and that this is how you overcome it. This is how you survive being a single mom. This is how you embrace it. And you don't have to be the statistics, because all of them are negative. Everything tells you that right. You won't make it as a single mom. Everything tells you that you're worthless as a single mom, that you're from some impoverished area, that, you know, you're uneducated. But I was total opposite. I was on the polar side opposite of, you know, that spectrum. I came from a two-parent home. I came from suburban America. I came from a middle-class family. I was educated, was pursuing my second degree. And so that lack of resource is what motivated me to start my own single mom diary, to kind of vent, to be that sounding board for other single moms, to let them know you don't necessarily have to come from that background, but if you do, there's still hope. You don't have to, you know, embrace what it is that everyone else tells you your life is supposed to look like. And I knew my daughter needed a living example. I knew she needed someone who could show her better than they could tell her. And so what better way to give that to her than to be that person in her life. Because as we know, we have social media, we have, you know, mainstream media that, you know, is total opposite. Everything is so,
yeah,
you know, infested with sex and drugs and just negativity,
right,
that
right.
Our kids don't have much to look forward to. And so I wanted to give that to her and her own mom. I knew the examples that I had before me and my own parents and my grandparents. And so I wanted to be that for single moms and show them different. And that's how I started my journey. I resigned from my corporate job in July. Prior to that, you know, I decided to get over the fear that was crippling me with sharing my story so I wouldn't be ashamed. And so for me to not be a hypocrite and to persuade other single moms to be their best selves, I knew I had to do exactly what I was preaching. So I had to practice that. And in order to practice that, I had to implement new things into my life. So I journeyed out and I ran across this advertisement for Procter & Gamble that was My Black is Beautiful to be an ambassador. It was the first ever search they were going to do. And I threw that needle in the haystack. And honestly, by the grace of God, I was able to be chosen as one of those six ladies to represent that community, to motivate women. It was part of my passion. I had discovered that. It's something I had prayed for so long. And I finally saw the message. And so with that opportunity for me to resign from my job and to do that in conjunction with my own business, where I am a single mom's coach, where I, you know, I'm a goal strategist for single moms, and I teach them how to live and be more than a mom, to fulfill their own dreams. That's how I got started. That's my journey. And that's why I said it's all divine. It's, you know, part of what I was supposed to go through. While I didn't understand it at that point in time, I get it now.
Right. I have so many questions right now. I mean, it's just, I love hearing what you're telling me, first of all. And
thank you.
Thank you for doing what you do. There's one thing that first popped in my head was, excuse me, is the stigma that is connected with single moms too. There's it seems like almost like it's not okay to be a single mom. It's like more socially acceptable to be a single dad because that's, you know,
yes.
You know what I mean. I'm you know, I have a girlfriend. I'm a single dad. I'm not married. You know, I look at not being married as single. You know what I mean.
Right.
But, it's definitely something that, like you said, when I got divorced, it was one of those, like, it wasn't even in my mind as something that was going to happen to me, like, be on that, like you said, statistic. And, I have two awesome daughters who helped me through it, and I love it. And,
yeah.
Of course, you know, and I know, women rule the world, and I don't know when men are going to get their head together, but
yeah.
Tell me more about My Black is Beautiful, MBIB. I saw that.
Well, My Black is Beautiful, it's a community of, you know, African American women. We celebrate everything that makes us beautiful from the inside out, and so we want to focus on inner beauty because, again, you know, outer beauty is very fleeting. It doesn't last forever. And if that's the only thing you have to offer someone as a woman, you know, you have to do some self-discovery there and gain some self-awareness that, you know, dig deeper. And so My Black is Beautiful embraces that whole idea and persuading and motivating women and girls, because we have a girls program as well, you know,
nice.
Imagine the Future, where we will talk about confidence and building that self-esteem that they need to walk boldly in their authentic selves.
Yeah. Do you think that social media has played a negative role in kids growing up?
I totally do. I believe that, you know, for one, some parents have gotten to the point where the TV, you know, social media, radio, even, you know, is sitting there babysitting their children, raising them, essentially.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and I think the idea of parenting has somewhat changed from when I was, you know, raised, and I'm in my early 30s. So I do believe that social media and media in general has negatively impacted our kids. And so that's the reason why we need people who are successful in positions of power to go out there and pour good seeds into these kids and to mentor and to share their gifts with them and not be selfish in that regard, because, you know, media is doing some damage to our children.
Yeah, I think one thing, well, I was a teacher for a while, and what I noticed was instead of, you know, blocking and, you know, eliminating social media from school for its, you know, dangers, they didn't really teach how to use it, you know, responsibly and respectfully. And mm-hmm. I think that was something that, I don't know, I think eventually they'll catch on and realize that this isn't going anywhere. It's not a fad, and it needs to be taught in a way instead of blocked, because there's stuff that you put out on the internet that, you know, doesn't go away, and people say mean things, it's kind of unreal.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that can be attributed to the fact that the village is gone. You know, we took everything out of the school. We took God out of the school. We took, you know, where parents and teachers have sound partnerships, that doesn't exist anymore. It's few far between. You know, you have the parents that are not active in their child's education. And so anytime the child's disciplined by the teacher, they don't have that relationship to know that, hey, let me just be realistic and honest about things. My child does act out sometimes, you know. It's not the teacher. The teacher wants what's best for my child. But if you don't establish that relationship between the parent and teacher, you're always going to be on the defense, and you always have these parents that want to come in and attack the teacher. Well, right. The child is spending the majority of their day with that educator. So why not establish a sound relationship, a partnership with your child's teacher or teachers, so that you understand how it is you like for your child to be disciplined, and, you know, how understand their teaching style, understand their disciplinarian style. You know, I think those partnerships and lack thereof has gravely, you know, messed up our education system.
Right.
Because we don't want anyone to tell our child to stop doing something. And, you know, when you and I were growing up, I got in trouble by the usher, the choir director, my parents, and I dare not go and say, Miss such and such told me not to do this. Well, then what did you do? Was a question my parents would ask me. And they never went back to Miss such and such and said, you shouldn't have done that. It was always thank you. You know, right. It's polar opposite now.
Yeah, there's been a shift. I know exactly what you're talking about, where almost like their child could do no wrong. Yep. You know, how could this, you know, what did the teacher do? And the mm-hmm. blame, like, why does my kid have a B+ instead of, exactly. you know, an A? I had a student who thought he could get away with it. It was kind of funny. He had an assignment where you had to interview someone who'd been in the military and you know, write a report on it. And he had copied and pasted an interview from like World War I, someone who's like probably not alive, but he made it sound like it was like from Vietnam. He like changed some things and didn't change the color of the, you know, the font, because on the font and the interview online it was different color for each, you know, who was speaking, who was asking questions. And mm-hmm. it was a simple Google search and it popped up, and like his mom like didn't even kind of acknowledge that he did anything wrong. It was complete plagiarism. And I was kind of saying, you know, if I don't do anything about this now, when they go off to college, and you probably know this, they'll expel you. You'll be kicked out of school for that kind of thing. And it was just, it kind of upset me, because like we're kind of talking about, the parents don't think their kids can do any wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So, you do speaking arrangements, or engagements rather. Can you tell my audience the audience on how that works and where you go and what you do?
Well, I motivate women. I speak on self-confidence, you know, building that self-esteem, going after your dreams, and what that looks like as far as, you know, doing the vision boards and actually putting action to what you put on that vision board. So I am booked across the country. It just depends on where people need me, how they need me. I do workshops with girls. I also do workshops with women to tell them, you know, self-care tips, things like that. And so people normally will email me, or they'll go to my website, fill out the contact form, and just say, here's my budget. This is what I want to do. I do a few volunteer speaking engagements per year, you know, because I do understand the importance of giving back, and some organizations don't have the funds and the means to, you know, pay for it. So that's not something that I'm hung up on a lot, but I love traveling and meeting people. I do a lot of speaking engagements through My Black is Beautiful as well. You know, we had an empowerment panel at the Essence Fest with Lisa Nichols, and that was amazing. We were able to talk to the women about cultural issues. You know, for instance, with, you know, Black women, we have this whole skin tone issue still that kind of hovers over our community. And we talked about that. You know, we're six ambassadors. We're all shapes, sizes, and hues. And so we talked about, you know, for me, from a darker hue, how that felt, how it feels, you know, living like that and having the naturally curly hair, you know. We talked about that as well. So it just depends on in what capacity I'm needed in. But I do go around and I speak and do workshops all the time. I enjoy it. That's the one part that I'm passionate about. I have an HR background, so I'm used to being in training and development and being around a ton of people and presenting to them. So it helps me kind of pull in that corporate part of me, but also speak from my heart as well, because there's not so much structure there when you're doing motivational speaking. You speak from your heart mostly and, you know, attach yourself to the emotions of the people in the audience.
And that really, I'm sure, resonates with people and really gets them engaged with what you're talking about, rather than, you know, some kind of corporate structure. You're telling, I mean, it's storytelling, and storytelling is, I think, the best way to do it.
Totally.
And Lisa Nichols, I've seen her online. She's huge. She's a big name.
Yes, she is. She's with Motivating the Masses. She's, you know, the founder of Motivating the Masses. And, you know, we got to sit down with her and have some personal time with her in New Orleans. It was the most amazing experience. I've taken a few classes from her since July. I've, you know, been in touch with her and her team, and I can tell you it's been the great mentorship that I've ever had. Just sitting back and being able to watch and learn from her team and just from her. She's a natural storyteller, one that I admire greatly, and a brand that I aspire to have something that reflects what she has, you know, what she's established, but to do that for single moms. I want to be known around the world for pouring into single moms, a demographic that most people will ignore.
Yeah, I think you have a great thing going, and you have a great brand developing for sure. It's needed. It is definitely needed. And as the internet grows, which it always is, you'll find more and more people who will reach out to you, and hopefully this podcast helps with that.
And I'm sure, appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome. And we talked about your brand and Lisa Nichols. What are some brands that you like that you kind of can't live without?
Can't live without, okay, without sounding cliche, I'll just get it out the way first, and that is Oprah.
Nice.
I am, you know, an Oprah fan for so many reasons. You know, just her business sense. She's savvy. She's a giver. And, you know, a lot of people get mad at her when she doesn't support certain causes, but they also overlook what she does support. And I see that. And so she takes it in stride. I've studied her for a long time to learn how to balance, you know, the growth in your brand and to balance your family and the business side of it and to do well at it. And she is the epitome of a balancing act if you ever get the work-life balance. I don't know if that ever comes, but she's done really well at getting close to having that perfect balance. And so I love her.
Yeah.
I also admire Tina Knowles. That's Beyonce's mom. You know, just the way that she carries herself, you know, even with the divorce from their father being so public and, you know, his extracurricular activities being public. She's taken that in stride, and she's moved in such a way that's inspired me. That, you know, you keep your family business exactly where it is, you discuss business, you handle that in public, and you handle everything behind closed doors. So I pay attention to her and just how she's been able to propel her daughter and support her daughter in her dream and, you know, being this icon. I get that has to be overwhelming at times, but she takes it in stride, so I love that. And then my favorite one is Ellen DeGeneres.
Yes.
She's hilarious. She is. I love her. But her heart is so big. Her brand is so authentic to her. You never see her being this, you know, stand up straight and wear the suit and tie. You know, she's not right. one of those people. She's very laid back, but she's still polished and she's authentic to her brand. And so I love that, that she's able to be who she is and be successful at the same time. And so that's one of the things that, you know, I had to, with leaving corporate America, I felt like I was just in this bubble and I could never be me. I love, you saw my crazy hair. I always put it on top of my head and it's all over the place. I love it. I love my glitter nails. I wear glitter all the time. You know, I want to wear my orange lipstick. And some of those things are just not acceptable in certain places. So I started my own brand because of that, because I wanted to be me and true to myself. And so Ellen does a great job at doing that. And let's see. Oh, I had the pleasure of meeting Diana Nyett. Okay. I met her last month at the Texas Women's Conference, and she is such a pure soul. And I studied her speaking on stage and the storytelling that you and I were talking about. Right. She's an expert at that. You know, she captivates you. It's her voice and, you know, the fact that she has that can-do attitude, and nothing or what anybody says does not matter to her.
What's her last name?
Diana Nyad. It's N-Y-A-D.
Okay.
She's a swimmer.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. So her gift of perseverance and, you know, the point that, you know, somebody told her, you can't do this, you're too old. And yeah. she showed them. So that's what I talk about being that living example. Show people, prove it, you know, and walk in your authentic self. And so those are the brands that I love and admire and I have studied for a while. And that's the reason why, because they're all authentic to themselves and they're natural givers.
Yeah. I saw her TED Talk, Diana's uh-huh. TED Talk on her, she swam from Cuba to Florida, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and kind of just, again, mind-blowing. And all the people you named are just, you know, when you have a one-word name, you know that, like, they're, you know, Oprah, Ellen, Beyonce. And I don't know much about her mom, but I can imagine uh-huh. just phenomenal.
Yes.
And Ellen, I can always predict when I see something online, like on YouTube, I'm like, oh, this person's going to be on Ellen for sure, because she's great at bringing out, like, you know, people who have viral videos. And recently it was Alex from Target. I don't know if you saw that Instagram thing.
No. Mm-mm.
Yeah, it was someone took a picture of a cashier from Target. And his name was Alex, and, like, hashtag Alex from Target, and it went viral in, like, 2 days, and, like, 2 days after that, he was on Ellen.
Wow.
Yeah, it was Instagram viral picture.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, Oprah, and you probably know, I don't know if you heard some of the music on some of my podcasts, I love Beyonce. She's mm-hmm. just, oh my gosh, and that. That new video she came out with, 7-Eleven, is hysterical.
Yes.
Did you see it?
I love it. I so love great. It because she did it, I heard, with an iPhone and herself, and she's learned the business of editing and all of that. You know, she's a one-woman band and show. And so it's just crazy how gifted she is, but she stays true to herself. That's another reason why I love her and her mom. I mean, they are genuinely walking in who they are, and the fact that they just don't care what anybody yeah, else yeah. thinks, I love it.
Awesome. Other questions? Let's see here. Oh, I think you kind of covered your motivation. Do you have a favorite quote you'd like to share?
Favorite quotes? I would say it's one that Margaret Packer from Motivating the Masses, Lisa's team, she had it on her Facebook post, and it said, "The cave we fear to enter holds the treasure we seek." And that speaks volumes to me, because for years I've been so scared and afraid, and I've let it cripple me from pursuing this. And I think about, and of course you can't do, life has no redos, right? So I think about the 4 or 5 years that I've allowed to just kind of pass me by, where people have said, you should write a book, or you should do this. You're great at speaking. You're great at giving advice. You know, you've conquered being a single mom. You should do this. But I was so afraid that I didn't even believe in myself. And so I am so glad that I had someone in my life. You know, I ended up getting a life coach about 4 years ago, Diane Tribble, who just poured into me so greatly. Our first exercise, she had me look in a mirror and tell me what I saw. And when I looked in that mirror, I did not recognize the person staring back at me. That scared me. And that's when I knew something had to change. I needed to do something different. This wasn't working the way that I was living. The makeup, the hair, none of it was working. It wasn't hiding what I really felt inside. And that was, I felt trapped. I felt alone. I felt scared and unsure of myself. And I had to get over that. And so that quote speaks so many volumes to me about, you know, being in that cave of fear. And once you get over it, look at the treasures that you get. I'm sitting here looking at having my own business, being a motivational speaker, pouring into other single moms, being the My Black is Beautiful ambassador, you know, and talking to these little girls around the country and saying, you can be whatever you want to be. And I can only tell them that because I'm doing it. And so that quote speaks volumes to me.
Yeah, and I think we're living in an age now that is making a lot more possible with the internet. And I think being able to have your own personal brand and connect with people is going to be, I think, the next new economy.
Yes.
Excuse me. I just got over being sick for like 3 weeks, and I'm just finally getting over it. So excuse me for clearing my throat. Sorry. Do you have a favorite book, Ebony, or author that you like to follow? You there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome back.
Yes.
Do you have a favorite quote? Well, wait, I'm sorry, favorite author or a book that you like to follow?
Favorite author or book? I can say that I have a book that I read recently that really inspired me, and that was Maisha Chaney. She's from Preachers of L.A. She has this book called Hiding Behind the Lipstick, and it speaks to the different issues that women face and that they don't verbalize and they don't feel comfortable to do so. And that book resonated with me because, again, you know, as single moms, we hold a lot of things in. As people in general, we hold things in and afraid of judgment. And so Hiding Behind the Lipstick talks about getting over that and just kind of being bold in your confessions. And so I read that most recently and I loved it. So that would be one of the books on my list to say that's a favorite.
Nice. I love the metaphor in the title.
Yes.
It's more, you know, obviously it's more than just a lipstick. It's great.
Right.
All right, Ebony, where can we find you online? Where can people search out for you?
You can find me on my website. It's www.iamebony.com, and it's spelled out I-A-M-E-B-O-N-Y. I also am on Facebook, and that's at I'm Ebony, and so that one is I-M-E-B-O-N-Y. Also on Instagram and Twitter. Twitter is the same as the Facebook, at I'm Ebony, I-M-E-B-O-N-Y. Then my Instagram is the same, but it has a C on the end. So it's at I'm Ebony C, I-M-E-B-O-N-Y-C. So I'm all over the place on social media. If you go to one, you'll find the others. It's very easy to find me.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I'm pretty sure on your website there's the links at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So excellent. I'm so happy that we connected, and thanks for doing this.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Yeah, and I'll let you know when it's live and send you some links, and we'll connect up.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you. We'll see you.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye.
Again, that was Ebony Combs from iamebony.com. My name is Kenneth Alan Morris. This is the
Dumb Teacher Podcast. Thanks for listening. Have a good afternoon. I'd like to give a shout out to all the people who have reviewed the podcast. Thank you very much. Also, go Packers. That's pretty much it. Yeah, I think that's all I got. I'm just going to listen to this because I like the ending, so I'll be quiet for a little while. Second favorite part. It's that whistle part is my favorite part. It goes, it's coming up. Yeah, here it is, right there. And the clapping in the background. Oh, so awesome. That's it. That's the end. That's all there is. It's just me talking. I sound like Jerry Seinfeld. You know what, though? You should check out Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. It's really good. It's really funny. I mean, it's awesome. It's like more than funny. I mean, it's kind of still the, you know, the funny Jerry Seinfeld kind of stuff, but good conversation with some great comedians. So, see ya. Thanks.